So the question is, like, do nice guys finish last? And I think they do a lot of the time. And I think it's not a bad thing. Hi guys, welcome back to another episode of Flings and Things. I'm your host Moni and I'm here at the episode 89 today. Today is going to be a mini episode, guys. I'm exhausted from a long weekend. I went to Mexico for my boyfriend's birthday. Lots of things happened this week. It was a really good week, honestly. So I'm going to get kind of just straight into updates. October's over, my favorite month of the year. So sad, shedding a tear. It's also my baby's birthday month. My boyfriend was born on Halloween, which is nuts because it's literally my favorite holiday. So it was the first year that I didn't really dress up to go out or do things because we had plans for Halloween to take him out to dinner. So basically, I'm kind of going to go into what happened last week. So I had this plan that he went to work, basically, guys. I'm not working right now. And either way, even if I was, I had requested off Halloween because I used to work night shift. So basically, he went to work and was getting off around like 4:30. So what I did is I had set up our bedroom, I should say, with like balloons. And then I tied little like notes on the balloons, basically like 27 reasons why I love him. So I put that on the balloons. I had like the little happy birthday balloons in the background. For those of you who are listening and haven't seen, just go to my Instagram and you'll be able to see it. I made a whole reel for it. It's really funny. Oh, not funny. It's cute. But I say it's funny because it's like he's not a birthday person and I am. So like if you go watch it, you'll know what I'm talking about. And then I had roses. So I bought roses because I bought this J to put like the roses in it, like myself, instead of buying something like that. And then I had a lot of leftover roses. So I put them on the bed and I ended up taking like the petals off and like did a whole little like trail of petals from the front door all the way to our bedroom. And then I had these little candles that were like fake, so like obviously they don't like fucking burn down my house. I put that on like the bed with the petals. And then I obviously had gifts, so I had everything in black, so it was like black and silver theme with like red. And then the boxes, like I boxed each gift, and there was one bag and a lot of cute stuff, things that he needed and things that I wanted to give him. So when he came home, he did the surprise. He went in the room and saw everything. After that, we went to Ruth's Chris for dinner. In between that, I dressed up to give out some candy to the kids. It's my first Halloween in this house. There were no fucking kids. Only like 5 kids came to the door and it was in the same group. I was really disappointed. So we had extra candy that we're now eating, which we should not be eating. But it was overall a really good night. After that, I'm not gonna give away too much details, but like I low-key also had like a little like dance thing for him. If you catch my drift, ladies, you know exactly what I'm talking about. And that shit was awesome, honestly. My sister dances, I don't know what else to call it, but she likes sexy dances and like lingerie and heels for like choreography and stuff. Now I kind of want to do it because after what I did, I was like, okay, with actual practice, it's like a high. I literally enjoyed it so much. So that shit was fun. And then the next morning, we drove to Rocky Point because I surprised them with the trip to Mexico. I'd never been to Puerto Peñasco. So that's like the beach here on the Arizona side in Mexico. For those of you who are from Cali, obviously like Rosarito, TJ, Ensenada is like Baja. So over here it's Rocky Point. So we went and we stayed in a condo and we just got back last night. It was a great time. I really enjoyed it. It was nice weather. And yeah, also I revealed his face. Those of you guys who caught on and were messaging me about it, like I was laughing. We were both laughing because he knows like the whole thing of why I didn't want to show his face and everything. So here we are 6 months in and I showed his face, the big reveal, quote unquote. So yeah, now I won't be hiding his face anymore. And I'm sure deep down he likes it too, even though he said he never cared. But I don't know. I would have cared. Well, not that I would have cared, but I thought it would have been, I probably would have liked it if now my face was being shown. I don't know. I'm a girl. It's different. He's already a pretty private guy. So But yeah, I basically confessed my love to the world for this man. After 6 months of knowing him, I can honestly say he is literally my best friend. So shout out to you, baby, for making me the happiest girl in the world. And I hope you enjoyed your birthday, as you said you did. So yeah, I kind of just like on a tangent on that, though. I will say, I think it's like really, I think men deserve that too. And I think a lot of women, like, we are definitely gift givers. So we're really good at giving gifts, doing cute things like that, because that's what we would want for ourselves. But I think there are women out there who don't really go the full length of like what they expect. And I'm not saying like anybody I know particular, just in general. And I think we should. If we expect these big, beautiful things from our men, like, why aren't we doing it for them too? Maybe instead of asking them or sending them TikToks or like hinting, like, hey, this is what I want. Can you do this? Why don't you do it for them? Because I will say, when he like saw his whole birthday surprise in my room with the balloons and the roses, he was like, fuck. And I was like, and I knew exactly what this motherfucker was going to tell me. And I was like, what? He goes, ugh. Now I have to go so much bigger for your birthday. Like, you just set the standard. And I was like, exactly, always. So we're really both competitive with each other. So I knew that he was going to say some remark about having to go bigger for mine. And I'm just like, bro, whatever. Anyways, it was really funny. So that's advice to you women out there who really want something cute like that. Obviously, like, I think a person needs to really make you happy. And you need to really, like, they need to do a lot for you to want, for you to want to go out of your way for that. But then there are women out there who just go out of their way for people who literally don't deserve it anyways. That's crazy to me. See, I like, yeah, maybe I'll buy you something cute or whatever. But if you're not giving me like your full love and like full everything, I am not spending hundreds of dollars on you and doing like full ass shit like that. Like, no, it's not happening. But my baby deserved it. So that's why he got it. So anyways, I think that's pretty much it. What else updates? Did a lot of cool stuff the last 2 weeks of October. Went to like a hot air balloon festival here in Phoenix. It was really cute. It was for families, but we still went, my best friend, me, and my boyfriend. And basically, like, you could go trick-or-treat at the balloons, which was really cool. And we had like really good food, so that was fun. Went to the pumpkin patch, carved a pumpkin with Luna, took pictures with Luna, dressed her up as a little bat. What else did we do? I went to the fair. I don't even know if I talked about that on one of the episodes. I don't think so, because the last two episodes I had a guest. So yeah, the fair was super fun. I love the fair. I was super excited to go to the fair. We watched a movie in the movie theaters. I forgot what it's called, but it was a really good movie. It was the movie that's like romantic. Like, honestly, guys, I couldn't even tell you. I should probably look it up. I think some of you guys might know what I'm talking about. Let's see. Theaters. It was basically, I don't want to go into it too much, but basically she gets sick and she has like cancer, and it kind of just like shows their love story, and they both have English accents. Hold on. You guys are going to be like, how do you not know what this is? It was really good, but I definitely did not know. We Live in Time. Okay. That's what it was called. We Live in Time. Really good movie. Definitely recommend it. Definitely go watch it. And I think that's pretty much the only update. I can't really think of anything else. I will say, if you guys haven't seen it yet, and if you're listening, I'll describe it. Basically, Drea made me this shirt, and I know I've posted it and talked about it before, but it has Luna Marie all over it, so I'm definitely wearing it today. In spirit that I love my cat, and I felt so bad that we left her when we went to Mexico this weekend. She was all by herself. Thank God my bestie Tiffany came to feed her and definitely gave her some, like, cuddles and naps, because they slept together in the house, so that was nice. But I appreciate a shout out, Tiffany. So yeah, I'm gonna get into today's topic now. So, do nice guys always finish last? That is what I want to get into today, because a lot of women in my life, including myself at one point, have been in that toxic phase of wanting a little bit of like spice, wanting a little bit of that toxic, like on your toes, like, and realistically what it is here, guys, is flight or fight, which is not a good response for your nervous system. We all know that is not where you want to be. You're supposed to be at peace, right? But we like that little toxic that keeps you wanting more. And I don't know if I consider those the nice guys. They're not necessarily bad guys or assholes, but they're not that typical, like, stereotypical, like, super nice guy that you're like, oh my God, he's so sweet, he's so kind, he's never mean, he's never an asshole. And I think a lot of us, like, can attest to, even men maybe listening, that that can get boring sometimes. So the question is, like, do nice guys finish last? And I think they do a lot of the time. And I think it's not a bad thing. I think they finish last a lot of the time when people are in their early 20s or younger, maybe mid 20s or younger. And I even know people who are in their late 20s that still just, but they pass up the nice guy, right? And I think a lot of that is when you're used to receiving love a certain way, or you have like a pattern of dating specific type of men, like specific types of men. It could be different types, right? People who are never responding, people who are inconsistent in and out of your life, people who love bomb you and then disappear and then love bomb you again, whatever the case may be. If you're used to that all the time and then you come across a guy who's super nice, it kind of is like, whoa, what is this? Like, it's foreign. And it almost feels like it's off-putting. I think you also have those situations in which you're in a toxic relationship for so many years, or unhealthy relationships, like patterns over and over again, where when you finally meet a nice guy who like kind of puts you in that healthy relationship area or mindset, now you tend to kind of sit there and like, you're expecting the worst. Like, you're expecting for the other, the other shoe to drop. I think that's the term, the phrase. And I think I was in that situation in my last serious relationship in my early 20s. I got bored. It was a healthy relationship. And I guess I'll just, like, you guys already know, like, it was my ex-husband. Like, I got married to him. I obviously was in love with him. But in the beginning, for the first year with him, I was not used to having a healthy relationship, because my previous love, like my first puppy dog love in high school, it was so toxic, like the cheating, the abuse on all levels. Like, it was like screaming, crying, breaking up left and right. Like, it was just so toxic. And when I got to the healthy relationship where we trusted each other, he didn't ask for my password. He didn't control me where I went. He was okay with me hanging out with my friends. He didn't question anything. And he also didn't accuse. I was not used to that. So it got to a point where we were like almost 6 months in, and he called me out on like creating fights for no reason. And he literally told me, I'll never forget this day, because we were walking down the pier in Oceanside in San Diego, and we were like just going to the beach and then going to like dinner. And I remember he was like, I started a fight for something. Can't even remember. It was so petty, so like small, irrelevant, insignificant. And he literally was like, I feel like you're just creating this fight because you're bored. You're just doing it on purpose. Like, do you want to fight? Do you want me to be that kind of guy? Do you want me to yell at you? Do you want me to treat you like shit? And that's when I was like taken back, because I did not expect that response from him. And honestly, at that time, because I didn't really work on myself, obviously I was so young, never even like really thought about therapy ever, didn't know about traumas, triggers, none of that concept. And I had to really realize, like, wow, like, maybe I am bored, even though like I had loved him, right? It didn't really hit me until like probably like 4 or 5 years ago, when I started to reflect on that specific relationship, that I was like, oh shit, like there were times where I low-key was bored. Not that I ever cheated or anything. It was more just like I didn't know how to communicate that like I wanted more of like that spice passion. But then recently in the last year, I was watching a reel from Jay Shetty. Love Jay Shetty and his podcast. And he was going on a tangent basically about how passion, like that intimacy of like passionate, like romance, like, okay, perfect example is The Notebook, like where they're like crying and longing to be together and everyone's like, oh my God, they're so in love, they're meant together, they're soulmates. Like, that passion is actually not necessarily like a positive response from the body. And he basically was saying how like that when you're nervous, or like when you're like excited, like that excitement that you get when you first start talking to somebody and first flirting with them, that's actually like your nervous system like tripping out, basically like that flight or fight feeling in your system, right? Where you're like, oh my God, like you're on edge, but it's also very exciting, right? And it's because you don't know, it's so unfamiliar, it's not you don't know what's to come. And that's not like necessarily a good thing, right? In the beginning, that's normal when you first start dating someone, because you're not sure anything about them, you're learning about them, you don't even know if this is going somewhere, especially if you're one of those people that has not had that exclusivity talk and it's very casual. So you're just excited. Oh my God, they texted me. But then once you start to like be in a relationship with somebody over time, you don't have that necessarily, those quote unquote butterflies anymore, because, and a lot, I'm not saying those of you don't, because I still do. And some people do years later. But technically those butterflies that everybody gets when you first like someone and first start talking to somebody, it's because it's your nervous system, right? and you're just like, oh my God, like you're not at peace, which I know it sounds like it's negative, but it's not necessarily negative, but it can be viewed as negative, I feel. And basically what he was saying is that over time, once you're comfortable with somebody, you know how to communicate, it's healthy, you learn their habits, you guys know everything about each other, you guys know what each other likes. You guys know, like, you know that person's going to come home to you. You know that you trust them, that they're not going to do anything behind your back. Eventually, you start to lose those butterflies and you're not as nervous anymore. You're not as excited because everything's just familiar and calm. And that's not a bad thing. That's a healthy relationship. So I think that was, like, a really good reel because that's when I really opened my eyes. I'm like, fuck, like, all these guys that I dated in between, like, after, like, my ex-husband was, like, I just felt like I was missing something, that passion, right? But I realized that that passion wasn't always necessarily what I needed. So when I met my current boyfriend, yes, I got those crazy butterflies, that anticipation, that oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, like smiling at my phone 24/7, that whole thing. I had that in the beginning for the first couple of months. And can I be honest with you guys? Like I low-key still have it. But it was very much more in the beginning because I didn't know anything about him. And I was so excited like to meet him. And then when I met him, I was so excited to see him every day. Like the anticipation, not knowing he was mysterious, like all of that was like getting me. Then as we got to know each other, those feelings turned into something else. The butterflies turned into more like when I kiss him, I see a future. I feel things like it feels so intimate. It's passionate. But even now, like we're basically living together at this point now. And I see him every day. I talk to him every day and I feel safe and secure with him. And I trust him. He trusts me. Like I know that I will not get bored. And I say that because if this was 10 years ago, 5 years ago, I may get bored after a year or two of being in a relationship. But I now know how to navigate that because I know that those feelings that I was craving back then was because I wasn't used to something healthy. And what healthy and safe is supposed to feel like, you shouldn't be feeling all that like in those, I don't want to say excitement because people are going to be like, no, you should feel excited. It's not that kind of excitement you're thinking about. It's the excitement and the anticipation of, is he going to text me back? Oh my God, he texted me back. Oh my God, we're going on a date next Friday. Like that kind of feeling when you first meet somebody. That's what I'm talking about. And I'm okay with that because we have our intimate ways and our feelings and other aspects of our relationship, not just that whole beginning stages of flirtation and anticipation. And also me and him just have a really like good flirt to roast ratio. So we're always joking with each other and making fun of each other and being bratty. So I think that's what makes it really fun. And that's something that I've learned over time. But I think I kind of got off topic here with the whole nice guys thing. So if any of this sounds familiar to you about the whole like, you're not used to being treated a certain way, you like that toxic, you like that anticipation, you like the mysterious, then I'm talking to you. Because I think that when we encounter someone who knows what they want, maybe even goes to therapy, is a healthy person, is a great partner in a relationship, we may be, I don't know who's calling me, I'm sick and tired of these election phone calls and text messages, I'm sorry guys, I already voted. Like, leave me the fuck alone. Anyways, I just lost my train of thought. But basically, I don't even know what the fuck I was saying. Basically, when we encounter someone who's healthy, who knows what they want and a good, you know, is a good partner relationship, we may get confused, we may be uncomfortable, and we may not know how to respond or react, which can be off-putting, which is the reason why you don't want to date that person anymore and you'd rather go back to the toxic guy that leaves you on red every other week. And, you know, there's some girlies out there who are my besties and you know I'm talking to you, specifically one of them, and I love her and she's the one that told me to go over this topic and we both talk about it all the time because I've been in those shoes. And that's the thing, it's like sometimes the healthy, good, nice guys are boring to us. And it's because of our past traumas, which she knows, I know, other women know, other men I'm sure know as well. That is a trauma response. That's why you're bored. So I feel like you have to learn how to navigate through that yourself before you can really understand why you are attracted to that feeling. Don't get me wrong. There are guys who are very exciting, who may be a little inconsistent, may have some opportunities with them, whether it's their personality, their behavior, whatever it is, their goals in life. It doesn't make them a mean or a bad person. But when I say nice guys finish last, I'm talking about the nice guys who are genuinely there for you, don't have ulterior motives. They just want to love you. They want to compliment you. They're doing things for you. And it's another person I know in my life who always dated really shitty guys, like fucking assholes, losers, lamos. And when they encountered a guy who took them out on dates, planned dates, opened the door for them, thought about them and bought them something small, texted them back regularly, treated them with the utmost respect, they were like, oh my God, like they're falling in love, right? So you may ask, okay, well, that's a nice guy. Well, yes. But sometimes, you know, if you're not going into a committed relationship, that's where you still have that uneasy, unfamiliar, not very safe and secure feeling, which is what keeps it like your adrenaline going, which is what keeps you there longer, right? What I'm saying is like, if you have all that, but this person's not committing to you, that could be another, I don't want to say a trigger, but like another reason why you're still attracted to that kind of nice guy, because there's some issues with that. I have the same situation. There's a guy that I dated who did everything for me, like super nice, bought me everything. Everything seemed pretty healthy, but there was just one part of him that was like that bad boy. And that is why I was like, I think still attracted to that, even though it was toxic. Whereas now with my guy, I already knew when I encountered him that I was ready for the nice guy. Now, is he a full nice guy when I say like the kind guy that has not done anything wrong in their entire life? No. And I'm sorry to call him out, and I love you to death, but I'm not going to go into his problems, or his, not his problems, his personal life, because that's not mine to tell. But he has gone through opportunities in his past relationships where he could have been a better partner. So knowing that and knowing how we both like interact with each other in the beginning, like, yes, he's a nice guy and he's an amazing and he's a great guy and I literally love him to death, but he's not perfect and he's not that kind, nice, innocent, never done anything wrong to hurt a woman guy. Okay, which I don't really know many of those out there, because even the men in my life have hurt women, cheated, and done other shitty things to women. And I've done shitty things to men. Like, you guys know, I've told stories on here. I am not a fucking angel. And that's why me and my boyfriend really make a good couple, because our relationship, we have been so open about our behaviors in the past and the things that we've done to other people to wrong them and how we're going to do better for each other and how we've done better already before we met each other. So I think that's super important. And for all the guys out there who are nice, who have never cheated, who have never fucked over a girl, who have never used a girl, who's never literally disrespected a woman in their entire life, and I'm talking to you, I'm so sorry, but there are going to be women out there that you want, that even might seem very great and very nice and good women, who are going to pass you up because they haven't dealt with their past traumas and they are attracted to things that they have may have already experienced before you. And I think you need to learn how to not take that personally, because I've seen too many times, like in even movies and TV shows, where like, this girl's even a good girl. Like, she's not even bad. Like, she's your quote unquote high value woman, and she still chooses the toxic motherfucker over the nice guy. And it's like, why do we constantly see that? It's because it's also, they don't know what healthy is. Now, I would argue, like what I just described, like on TV, I said she's a great girl, right? So that means she shouldn't have gone through trauma. Well, how are her parents? What is her home life? What did she grow up around? Because maybe she's a great girl, but maybe she grew up with a dad who was absent. Or her parents were together in the household and they didn't really show affection. Her dad didn't do much for her mom. Maybe it was a traditional household where the mom does everything. The dad doesn't do shit except sit on his ass, read his newspaper after working, making the money for the family and watching sports on TV. But he's never like bought her mom flowers or done things for her, like acts of service, or always compliment her and call her beautiful, whatever the case may be. That idea of love, she may have not seen that. So when she comes across a guy who doesn't do those things, she might be used to that because that was her father and that's what she's attracted to. So that's another food for thought. I can go into that another time about like why you're attracted to people that are like your father, like your brother, vice versa for men, like your mother, like your sister. But it's very interesting, honestly. And I know like sometimes it's like when you didn't grow up around that, you don't know how to receive it. So not only do you not do it yourself, but you might not know how to receive it. So like one of my girlfriends, like she wasn't used to being complimented constantly, being called beautiful, all these like nice things, right? And like a guy that she met was doing it and it made her uncomfortable. And I could relate to that to a certain extent, not really, because like my dad constantly compliments me and other people in my life. But when I was younger, I was lacking that. My dad worked 2 full-time jobs and I barely saw him. And I think I was very insecure. This is like, I'm talking about like literally like 3rd grade through like 9th grade. And I feel like anytime I got attention from men, which is when I got to high school, I received it differently because I was like, oh my God, like this is like, I like this. Whereas some people also like, it makes them uncomfortable. As I've gotten older, actually compliments do make me uncomfortable because I don't know what to fucking say. Do you say thank you? Do you say, oh my God, stop? Like, I don't know what to fucking say, but that's a side note. So I think it's sometimes that can also cause you to self-sabotage relationships if you're not used to receiving love that way. Or attention, compliments, affection, whatever the case may be. So I think what it all comes down to is that that nice guy is going to finish last for the wrong woman. Because there are going to be women out there who want that. But I also think if you're perfectly nice, like that's not realistic either. Because we all have like a, I don't want to say a spicy side. But we all have opportunity. So even that quote unquote good guy that's never wronged a girl. I don't know if I truly believe that. Does that even exist? Like that nice guy. I'm not saying that there's not a nice girl either, but I'm thinking like, have you just never opened up about your traumas to people? Have you not opened up about your dark side? Like maybe this quiet, shy, nice guy has an anger side. Like he literally has anger management and no one knows because no one's triggered it. So I think like no one's perfect, but if you're dating someone who's also too nice, that can also be a red flag. Keep in mind, love bombing is a real thing. When we're talking about nice, do you talk about kind? Like, is there a good citizen, like a good civilian over here holding the grandma's arm across the street to walk her? Or are they just like super nice because they keep saying that you're beautiful and that you're perfect and they keep complimenting you 24/7? Because that's different. That's called love bombing. And that's a whole other episode. So anyways, I'm going to end there. I just think that I'll end with this. Be who you are and find somebody who's in love with the kind of person that you are. Fuck the whole nice guy, not nice guy thing. If somebody can accept you for your flaws and still love you for that, or love you for how you are, if you don't have, if you're not a mean person, you're super kind and you're just giving and you're great. You want to be with somebody who loves you for you. So regardless of nice or not, like, if she doesn't like you, move on. If he doesn't like you, move on and find somebody else who respects your past, respects your present, and respects the future that you want for yourself. So that wraps everything up. That's all I really want to say on this topic. Probably can go on more. I'm sure a lot of people have their other opinions on this, but we're going to get into our advice segment now. Hi, I'm not sure if you guys have an episode on this already, and I'm sorry if you do. I'm still making my way through all your episodes, but I have a question for both of you. What's your guys' take on dating someone who is born physically different? So I asked, define physically different, because I'm like, are you talking about disability, like missing an arm, like a mental disability? Like, I was confused. Honestly, I don't even know the right terms. I didn't know what he was talking about. So he said, I'm just reading it now. For example, I have albinism and I don't normally hear or see the perspective of others of what it would be like to date someone who looks different. With that being said, it doesn't have to just be albinism. Is it albinism or albinism? But anything really that makes someone physically different. Okay. So I feel like, I don't want to be stupid right now, but I feel like that has to do with being albino, but I'm going to check right now. And if I'm not, you guys are probably laughing your ass off. Oh no, actually it's albino. Albinism is the congenital absence of melanin in an animal or plant resulting in white hairs, feathers, scales, and... Okay, well, that's an animal. We're talking about, like, a person. So, sorry, guy. I know you're listening. I'm not going to say who your name is, but I apologize if I said anything incorrectly. Sorry, I'm just looking at to see your name. Okay. Well, this is, like, advice segment. Out with the old and with the new. So, old me... I think old me wouldn't really have a deep thought on this. I'd just be like, if you're born differently, like dating someone who's born physically different, like you just need to date someone who's going to want you for you. Like if I'm dating someone, I'm not going to say, oh, I'm not going to be with them because they're born physically different. It's more just like, am I attracted to them? Are they a good person? So like that's old me. New me wants to kind of like break that down more. As I've gotten older, the way someone is like physically, like I guess like their attractiveness doesn't mean as much as it did like 10 years ago for me. And if you're born physically different, like honestly, it would depend. Like, is this a disability where you can't, you're immobile or you're paralyzed from the waist down, like we can't have sex? Because that is something you need to consider when you're dating somebody. But what you're saying specifically, I don't I really wouldn't have a problem with that. Personally, if I met you and that was the case, and like I liked your personality and I thought you were very handsome, like I don't see why that would be an issue. Maybe I'm not answering the question properly, but as long as for me personally, if I can have a intellectual stimulating conversation with you and I am attracted to you to a certain extent, and I say certain extent because no one's ever going to be perfect to what you are like fantasizing about. I think it needs to be like, are you attracted to them to some extent, right? Sexually, not just has to be sexually too, guys. I'll make that very clear. And I've gone over that in an episode before because I was like thinking somebody was cute before, but like not really my type. And I wasn't really attracted to them. It was more like, oh, they're cute, I guess. But I wasn't physically and sexually attracted to them. That was a huge issue in the relationship. So now looking back on that, I would say, yeah, I need to be sexually attracted to them to a certain extent and it can stimulate my mind and they're sweet and they're hilarious. I don't see the problem with that. Like I said, the only thing that I could think of right off the bat is like if someone's like immobile and I can't have sex with them, like I'm gonna be honest with you, like that could be that would probably not be something I'd go for. But if my boyfriend, who I currently love, if something happened to him, would I leave him? No. And maybe somebody out there is going to be like, you don't know that, Monica, because you haven't been in that situation. And maybe you have. And I'm sorry if I'm talking to you right now about that. But I don't see myself doing that. Me and him have talked about that. If something happens to one of us or like, I don't know, car accident, you just never know nowadays. I wouldn't leave him. And we've talked about this. So that's a little different. But I don't know. If you want to be more specific, I can kind of answer this on the next episode. But it's a little hard. So I'm going to leave it right there. But anyways, that was episode 89. Sorry it was short, guys. But I will see you guys next week. I will probably not have a guest, but I'll try to get one the week after. Let's see what else is going on this week. Nothing, basically. I'm getting back on track with my meal prepping and going to the gym because I did go to the gym last week, so, but I did not go on Friday or the weekend because I was in Mexico. And then also my parents are coming into town the weekend after for their anniversary, so I'm super excited about that. But more to come. I'll see you guys next week. Hopefully this episode wasn't too boring, but I love you guys. Don't forget to write in. Bye.